following talk was recorded on the 22nd of January 2023. It's called Practicing the Presence. The speaker is spiritual leader Rhonda Murray.
So, Happy New Year, everybody. Happy Chinese or Lunar New Year, that is. That's today. And it's the year of the rabbit. And the rabbit stands for wholeness, life and health. No, it stands for longevity, peace and prosperity. Longevity, peace and prosperity. And in unity, we would say wholeness or life or health rather than longevity. It's not about how long you live, it's how well you live. So we would say wholeness, life and health. And I'm a little concerned about this one because I was born in the year of the dog. That, does that mean I'm going to spend this year chasing longevity, peace and prosperity? The rabbit. Okay. There used to be a unity song we used to sing years ago was Stay Alive for as Long as You Live. And I think that's a better way of expressing longevity. So taking, and of course we're perfectly comfortable with prosperity and peace. So I'd invite you to wish somebody around you, or if you're on your own on Zoom yourself, a happy new year of health, prosperity and peace. I'll just say that again. Happy new year of health, prosperity and peace. Say that to a couple of people if there's a couple of Thank you. In the Chinese culture, one of the things they do before their new year is clean the house. Like, oh, that's part of their culture to go into the new year with a clean house. I kind of ignored that bit. Well, what we do in unity, of course, is we clean our minds rather than our houses. We let go of those negative thoughts, feelings, beliefs that get in the way of our good in this new year. So let's take that whole idea a step further today and look at practicing the presence. Well, it seemed to me that we need to start on the outer level and work our way in. So we can practice awareness on several levels. Being aware of the environment around us, how much do we do on autopilot and don't really notice what's happening around us? Being aware of our physical body, being aware of our thoughts, feelings, and beliefs. You can see we're gradually turning within. And then being aware of our inner guidance, our inner Christ spirit. So we'll look at those four in a little more detail. Zen Buddhism would explain it as before enlightenment, chop wood. After enlightenment, chop wood. I forgot the water bit. Chop wood, carry water. After enlightenment, chop wood, carry water. In other words, do what you're doing while you're doing it. Don't do what you're not doing when you're not doing it. Be in the now moment. It's about mindfulness. The Apostle Paul would explain it as he explained to the people of Thessalonica, pray constantly. He wasn't suggesting that the people of Thessalonica get down and pray on their knees all day, but to live each day in awareness. Awareness of the present task, while at the same time being aware of the spiritual dimension of the task. Spirit expressing through us what Jesus called the kingdom of heaven. At the human level, it's about doing what is ours to do willingly with attention and gratitude for the good in the task. Yes, even cleaning the house has good in the task. I don't like to do this myself. I prefer to have done lists that show the tasks completed. So I don't write do the dishes. I would write dishes washed and put away. Not find a quote for Thursday night email, but quote an affirmation email sent to Julian. You know, it's the end of the task. It's completed. Think about Jesus' awareness of the world around him, the sheep and the olive trees and the grapevines. He said, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. He was aware of the political situation and made peace with it. Pay taxes to Caesar, but give your loyalty to God. He was aware of the corrupt practices in the temple. And he mindfully did that task of getting rid of the businesses that were being run in the temple. And it's not something he did in a quick show of temper, because we're told that he sat down and made a whip. Like, I don't imagine it was a whip like we would think of for droving cattle in Australia. But even if it's not a very long whip, it would take some time and attention and focus, hey? Not something you do in a hot-headed way. And what the whip was for was not to drive out the moneylenders. That was a mistranslation in the King James Version. All of the modern versions say that the whip was to drive out the cattle, the goats, the sheep that were being traded in the temple. In order to make their sacrifices, they had to buy, you know, something to sacrifice, even a bird in a cage. And the sellers of these things were making a lot of money out of it. Just their profit alone on the cost of the bird or the sheep was equivalent to a day's wages. So they were on a pretty good wicket there, and it was a corrupt wicket because they had the actual cattle and sheep and birds in the outer part of the temple. And so that's what Jesus was saying, don't defile my Father's house with business, with shonky business at that. So it wasn't actually the money lenders that he chased out of the temple. It was everything to do with what they were selling. And of course, because they knew that they were in the wrong and that it was against Jewish rule, they had to go along with it. I mean, I love that scene of him pushing the tables over with all the money on the top of the tables and money going everywhere. And John doesn't tell us who gathered up all that money and what happened to it. I reckon it was put to good use in a lot of cases. All right, so the first thing is being aware of the environment and the things in it. It reminds me of a story of the two men who each owned a horse, and they decided to buy a paddock together to keep their horses in. But before they put the horses in there, one said to the other, well, hang on, once we let them go in there, how are we going to be able to tell them apart? And one said, oh, I think my horse is taller than yours. And he said, yeah, but you can only tell that when they're actually close together. If they're out in the paddock, we're not going to, you know, that won't work. And so then he said, but my horse has got a star on its forehead. And the other guy said, that won't work. Mine's got a star too. So then he said, oh, well, we'll just have to remember that yours is black and mine's brown. I remembered that story when I was watching the Australian Open very early in the week. I have trouble sorting out who's who, you know, when you've got two guys, one either end of the court. And so I usually try to, when one of them's serving, I have a look what he's wearing, you know, to try and be able to pick out who that is by what he's wearing. Anyway, this particular day, both the guys were wearing dark shorts and white shirts and white hats. And then I thought, well, what am I going to use? And I thought, oh, the guy who's serving's got those coloured sweatbands around his wrists. So I'll know that, you know, that's the Australian that's got the coloured wristband. I got very confused over the next few minutes until I realised the other guy was wearing the identical wristbands. But when I taught the last meditation practices class for the national school, one of the exercises that I gave the students was on this whole thing of living mindfully and being aware of the environment. And I suggested that they take a walk for the rest each day of the week, the same walk, but look for something different every day. And then being the good teacher that I am, I did the homework myself and walked along the creek that's just below my unit. And I was amazed at what I could find, the new things that I could find every day. And in fact, I kept it up for months. And it's made me much more aware of, you know, plants that are flowering or, you know, new little ducks hatched out or water hens or whatever. And it gave me a new appreciation of that environment. So anyway, so much for environment. Let's move on to physical. You know, our attention tends to be so much on what we're doing, we don't really take much notice of what our body's feeling. What are the sensations in the body, as Vipassana meditation would call it. So just check yourself out right now. Just see what sensations you can notice in your body. Like might be discomfort or aches or itches or the need to find a more comfortable position. When we're preparing for meditation, it's a good exercise to do, to take care of the body's needs first, and then we can take our attention away from it to turn within. Here in Australia, dehydration is a very common problem, and it really comes down to us not taking enough notice of when our body's thirsty. Very, very important to keep hydrated, particularly in the summer. So having checked out our physical body, then the next step is that inner awareness. What am I thinking right now? Ask yourself. It's a good practice to, if you've got a timer or a timer on the oven or on your phone or whatever, to just set an alarm to go off at a random time that you're then going to forget about. And when that alarm goes off or that timer goes off, just quickly think, what was I just thinking? And it's quite surprising sometimes how negative our thinking can be or how it's not really relevant to what we're doing at a particular time. Also, what feelings or emotions are calling for attention? Do you notice when you go on a long drive, particularly if you're driving on your own, all sorts of things come up that you haven't given the mind the opportunity to bring up into your attention before? So to take inner awareness to a higher level, and move past the body and the thoughts and the feelings, the next stage is spiritual awareness. Now, this is what Emily Cady, in her book Lessons in Truth, called Our Secret Place. That was the first Unity textbook published in the, wait for it, 1890s. And a lot of the things in that book are still being taught by lots of organisations today. Emily Cady calls it a place where we can get to know spirit within us. She explains, it's a secret place because it's a place of meeting between the Christ at the centre of your being and your consciousness. She taught that only in finding the reality of the indwelling Christ can we fully access the divine gifts of life, health, peace, power, and all things good. And to live in the awareness of that Christ presence is to be able to access divine guidance in every situation, no matter how big, no matter how small. I believe that in order to be able to turn within instantly for guidance, we need to take time regularly to turn within to that Christ presence in meditation. That is literally practicing the presence. Cady calls it making a friend of the Christ within. She wrote, you will have a new consciousness of serenity and quiet, a feeling that something has been done, that some new power to overcome has come to you. I reckon that's something we would all like to achieve. She urges us not to get discouraged if results don't come at once. You will soon get so that you can go into the silence, into conscious communion with your Lord at a moment's notice, at any time, in any place. I recommend that book, Lessons in Truth. If you haven't read it, ask Jackie to put some out from our library books this morning. And if you want to learn more about this, read the chapter, Finding the Secret Place. I heard an interesting conversation recently in one of my favourite coffee shops. The outdoor area was more crowded than usual, and the only place left was within overhearing distance of a man who was in earnest conversation with a woman. My book that I was ostensibly reading didn't get many pages turned. When I realised he was selling her on his amazing program to make her dreams come true. He mentioned books like Think and Grow Rich, The Secret, Esther Hicks and Her Channeled Wisdom. He even claimed that the author of The Secret was the creator of a lot of what we've been teaching in Unity for, 140 years. I managed to keep my face expressionless, and that's really something. I am not a good poker player, but I kept my eyes on my book and I kept my face expressionless until he told her he would teach her how to change her life using his program for only $6,000. That's what my face did, Jackie. I wanted to rush over and tell her Unity would share better material for free. When she balked at the price, he offered it to her for only $3,000 and he would be a partner in the deal. I was sending her silent messages of keep your brain switched on, lady. Fortunately, she left after saying she would keep in touch, which I don't think she had any intention of doing. So I want to close by saying we can all change our lives by practicing the presence. We can use those four steps of mindfulness of the environment, mindfulness of our body, mindfulness of our thoughts and feelings, and mindfulness of the Christ within, expressing through our own consciousness and available there at any time to guide us to the highest good for ourselves and those around us. So let's just all think of, for this week, let's practice the presence and see how that works out for us.